Wonderful. Well, Jan is here from Texas, and Teresa's from Texas, and Mildred and Marilyn and I from Wisconsin.
Yep. So we got a Texas-Wisconsin conglomerate today.
Whereabouts is Shirley on the road, Teresa?
She is, I believe, they left from San Antonio. I keep wanting to call it San Jose. They left from San Antonio.
Do you know the road to San Jose or something? You know that old song?
Yeah. Well, we lived 2 hours from San Jose when I was in California.
Okay.
Yeah. But they left from San Antonio last night and headed to Houston. So they were in Houston. So they're leaving from Houston to head to Florida.
Okay. Okay. So she knows and she'll call in when she can.
Yeah.
How about if we open in prayer and then, Teresa, if you wouldn't mind if I put you on the spot to tell us a little bit about the tour that you and Shirley and Steve have been on these last couple weeks. Would
sure.
that be all right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Abba Father, thank you for the technical ability that we have to unite across borders and so many miles. And we ask that you would protect us and strengthen us in you in all ways. Please use this time for encouragement and for edification, and give Shirley, when she's able to join us, and Teresa, the gifts of the words that you would have them speak. It is in Yeshua's name that we commit this time. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, Shirley and Steve, the peregrinati, the biblical storyteller and harpist, have been on the road with Dave Gibson, Sheep of Israel, and Teresa Bates, Adonai Dance Ministries. And we have Teresa. So if you want to go ahead and please tell us a little bit about what's been happening.
Okay. Well, yeah, you have one of the four. What we had set up a few months ago, and it's been a huge blessing already. We've only presented this once. David's ministry, as most of you all are aware, is he goes and he preaches, he breaks faith. Not the legalistic side, but teaching about the law, but the grace and the relationship with us and the Father that goes beyond words. So that way we want and yearn to follow Him with our whole spirit, not just our mind, but it's with our mind and heart joined together. And I bring in the music element with CDs, dance, flags, tambourines, to bring in the praises and the worship of the Father. And David and I have been traveling around for about 3 years now together. And Abba has brought in Steve and Shirley Reese. And they call themselves the Peregrinati. And the Peregrinati is, they're Celtic storytellers. And if you've never heard them, and if they come to a town near you, book them. But Steve plays the harp as Shirley tells biblical stories about different truths and things. Well, for the last 2 months, we've been working on a program that's called A Day in the Life of Yeshua. So we have an hour and a half program. I remember we were kind of talking about that when we were in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually come together. Where,
yeah, sure.
And it's based on Matthew 8 and 9, where Shirley tells a story, what's called the first one is called the demoniac, where the man is bound up in chains, and the Messiah comes and sets him free, and then the dance team does a dance. And then Shirley tells another story, we do another dance, or wait, Shirley tells another story, and then David does about a 10-minute talk, and then we do another dance. Steve and Shirley tell another story. We do a dance. David talks, and then we finish with another dance. So it's an hour and a half long program, and the way it's set up is we build one on top of the other. Nothing is random. We have specific songs that are played to go with the music or with the stories, so that way we're all interweaving the story and the music and the talk together to get a broad picture of what Messiah,
mm-hmm,
where he's wanting to take us in life.
Somehow the verbal description of it just doesn't match what it's like to be there.
No.
No. No. It depends on your view. Now, I'm seeing a picture of this.
Yeah? Oh, good. I'm glad.
Very cool.
That's Jan.
Well, Dan thinks creatively and visually, so from the words that you're saying, it sounds like a very awesome creative flow of the Holy Spirit to me.
Yeah, because it's, like I said, the demoniac, at first I was just like, whoa, because she's directly talking about being, demon possession is sometimes not a asked upon thing. It comes upon you when you're not looking. So she goes into this whole story, and it's a very, very powerful story.
Uh-huh.
And then the dance that we do starts off kind of slow, but then it talks about wash me, cleanse me, and heal me. So that's the dance that goes along with that. So with the flow, what we have, like I said, we've done it complete once, and then we've done partial things a couple times here and there, because we opened up for Bill Cloud, which was really funny.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and that's where we saw a lot of the power and the strength of the story flow, because what we did in the morning, Bill got there about 10 minutes before he was supposed to talk, and he didn't hear anything. Nobody knew what either side was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came in, this is why we know it was Yahweh, when he came in, everything that he talked about reiterated the stories that we did.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's always such a confirmation and a blessing when that happens.
Yeah, but what we're finding out is the interesting spin on the whole thing is the people in the group are like, oh, that's a neat story. But the leadership gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And
meaning each group that you go into.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the thing that's neat is because a lot of the groups, and I know we've talked about this before, and if you haven't experienced it, you will, with the messianic groups, they get so bound up with having to be legal, having to do everything right, having, you know, by the letter of the law, fighting and arguing over, you know, how to tie a tzitzit or to wear them inside, wear them outside, and we get bound up in the religion or ritualistic aspect of what we're doing. And with the way the presentation goes, we have all of the elements of what the Torah is about, but then there's the grace that is provided through it. So instead of being bound by the legalism, we have, it's a pure representation of walking in spirit and truth.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, have you been going primarily to messianic groups or to Christian church and Sunday people as well?
Anybody that Yahweh calls us to,
okay.
We want to go to the Christian churches.
Okay.
That's more of everybody's passion, is we want to be able to do that. And the Father is starting to set those venues up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you know, Teresa, it says in the Word to the Jew first.
Right, right. Well, that's
and our Messianic people need to be set free from this Judaism tradition that they're so bound up in.
Right, and that's why, you know, the group that we presented it the first time, I mean, that's where, I mean, because myself, David, and Stephen Shirley, that's where all of our contacts are at. So we are going to the Messianics, we're going to the Jews, and it's interesting is because we have certain towns or cities that we know we're going to be at. So we ask the contacts in that area, we're coming through, do you have an opportunity for us to speak? So instead of us saying we're going to do this, this, and this, we make the phone calls and we go wherever in that area that Yahweh calls us to go. And we did a street fair last week in my hometown and did a lot of ministry through there. And so we're not adverse to going to either or.
Mm-hmm.
And with the team that Yahweh has put together for us, we're both solid in each side because we've all kind of, except for me, have all come out of the Christian churches and embraced Torah. And myself, my family's been keeping Torah since 85. So we haven't really gone into the Christian churches per se, because my husband wasn't raised that way. But I myself go into the Christian churches. I'm not opposed to that, because God's in both places. I feel he blesses one more than the other at times, but it depends on the spirit of the group. It depends on who's leading.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's what he's doing in the hearts of the people, not necessarily the venue. But in a way, it's sort of not just, what's the word I want, not just rallying the troops, although that's a huge part of it, but it's also taking back ground that's been lost to the enemy.
Yeah. And we are, at this point, boldly going forward. And as I was talking with Barb this morning, each one of us have major things to put on the altar. And it's heartbreaking. And it's not going to be an easy task. But
Teresa had said that she's getting confirmation that he is indeed calling his people, and I know that matches with what we've been understanding. He is coming, and it's somehow there's an urgency that we're sensing in the spiritual realm.
And then some.
Teresa, can you say what it's like for you as you're leading the dance and the banner portion of it? What happens? What sorts of spiritual things are you encountering? And let's concentrate for the moment on when you're with the non-Torah pursuant groups, if you can.
I find when I'm more with there's strength within the Torah observant group. And what was interesting, and it's not that this doesn't happen, because usually when I lead dance and banners and things like that, I go and I pray over the people, over the area, over the church, congregation, city, when I'm leading dance and flags, because once people get used to the hand movements and I'm really familiar with the dance, I can just lead with my hands and pray in the spirit. And it's easy.
Oh, anybody there?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay, go ahead. Teresa?
I think we lost her.
Oh, no. Was she talking with her hands, do you think, and bumped the phone?
Could have been.
Who else is here? Do we lose anybody else? Mildred?
I'm still here.
Sarah Marilyn?
Okay, that was really weird.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything, and I heard two tones, and it says,
you are
now muted.
Did we pray over the phone this morning?
yeah, Abba Father, we do. Again, ask for your protection of this technical ability. We do not want the Prince of the Air to interfere as we continue to share about speaking your truth in Yeshua's name.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I didn't touch the phone. okay.
We wondered if you were talking with your hands and bumped something.
No, I was putting my cup of coffee down. But anyway, it was interesting when it happened, because when I was leading the dance at this particular congregation Friday night, a huge burden came upon me there where I had to pray for Israel. And that's one of the first times that that's happened. That strongly. So there's usually when I'm in the Messianic congregations, it's more of an intercession for people, for community, for things that are going on in the world.
And we felt that when you were with us, because we said when you and Dave and Steve and Shirley were in our little community, we really felt that you were here for us. And became a part of us.
Oh, well, the bond has happened. I mean, it's you guys are family.
Yeah.
But the difference between that and going into the Christian churches, it's reversed.
Okay,
and that's more of what I have sensed was, because I love going into Christian churches. There's a lot of growth and everything that we can see, feel, share. But I personally, my experience, I get more attacked spiritually and personally when I minister in a Christian church.
I can attest to that one, especially in Texas.
and it's...
We have a lot of witchcraft here, lots of it, and it's just embedded in our churches here.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where at first when I was moving forward with what Yahweh is wanting me to do, I got blindsided a couple times where I was sent to a place, and I had prayer coverage by three different intercessors, strong intercessors. I ate before the services, I prayed, all of the right things. And in the middle of the service, even though Karen Davis was leading the worship, they were doing the One New Man conference, and Shoabot was with them. And he was one of the high-ranking terrorists that gave his life to Messiah. Okay, so that was the level of the conference. And there, it was about 400 people completely filling the auditorium. And even though I had my armor up, I had the inside cleansed, the outside taken care of, spiritually taken care of, when I was done ministering in flags, that was the only thing I did. I did no dance, nothing. It was just with the large flags. I came back, and I was so shaky. Every ounce of who I was, who the Messiah was in me, and what God has done, I felt like I was sucked dry.
Good morning.
Hi, it's Shirley.
Shirley.
Made it. But glad you're here. We're just catching up with Teresa on what's been happening on your tour. So we'll kind of finish that thought and come back for you, okay?
Okay.
And yeah, Teresa, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Teresa, let me ask you something. Do you guys ever have shofars that are blowing throughout the worship?
At different times we do. Sometimes it depends on the song. If there's a lot of warfare that is going on, absolutely.
Well, that was one of the things the Lord used to do to me when he'd send me into these places where they were mostly Christians, even though they were pro-Israel. And I have one that's tuned to E-flat, and he used to send me in there just to play with the music. And I was an intercessor, and I was always in the back playing that shofar. I just wondered if you all had, you know, used that strategy too.
At different venues we have, but it's sometimes it's one of those things where myself, if I'm leading the dance, I can't pull away and have somebody do that.
Right.
Unless there's another dance leader that can pick up. I'm not. It's not that I'm stuck, but sometimes that's a blessing of traveling with Steve and Shirley. Is Steve does play the shofar, and it's funny because sometimes he'll be standing on the side, and I'll be like, Steve, and I kind of lean him over, and he comes over, and it's like, do this or this, and he picks up and does it, and it's been a huge blessing because he brings not only the shofars, but also the drums. And when the hand drums get added, there is so much strength and power in it. One of the things that we did a couple months ago, and I'll recommend you guys try this and see if it, not that it would work for you, but I just saw a lot of confirmation, is they had set up ahead of time a war dance to do with the congregation we were with. But beforehand, how they set that up is they handed out paper and pencils to everybody, and they wrote on the paper the things that they want broken in their life. And after that, they give them like 5 minutes to write down whatever they wanted to write down. And after that, we put them in our shoes, And then we walked around the outside doing the what they call the Jericho March.
Mm-hmm.
And with each step, you are trampling on the bondages that Satan has in your life.
Whoa.
You're trampling on the financial issues. You're trampling on the problems with your husband or son or daughter or whatever. You're trampling on just different major issues that are in your life. And doing that just once, I've seen so many different improvements that I'm going, I need to do this again.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We've been using a Kingdom of Death box where we ask people before worship to write out all the things that might keep them distracted from being able to fully enter in. And then we put the Kingdom of Death box underneath the menorah as a sign that it's under Yeshua.
Huh.
So, but I like the idea of trampling on it.
Yeah, I mean, it gets everybody involved, and it was just,
mm-hmm.
it was a really awesome experience.
Such a spiritual metaphor and a picture. And I think, you know, we've been, our focus in the teleconferences has been helping people speak Hebraic message when we're new to it, and we're trying to communicate with other people who don't understand why. But I'm also seeing there's a couple of other areas. Part of that is, you know, speaking to people within the Christian church, as many of us were. We had part of the story. We had Messiah, but not Torah.
Right.
But I'm also seeing that there's the difference between, and this is true in both Messianic groups and in Christian church groups, there's a difference between the intellectual head knowledge and the experiential spiritual level.
Right, right. And this,
I hate to use the charismatic word because that brings up all kinds of other pictures, and I don't necessarily mean what passes.
Right.
See, that's the problem. The Messianic Church, especially here in Houston, has thrown out the goodness of that movement, the realness of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The intercession, the, you know, they'll do banners and flags, but only within the confines of this religious box,
right,
that they've built around themselves.
Right.
And somehow, you know, all of the breakings of the traditions to bring us into the full walking of Ephraim are going to have to contain all the goods of all these different things.
Right. Well, the Jericho March actually came from a Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've done those before, too.
Yeah, and it's what I see is it's they have the spirit. And that's,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the things that I draw on, and that's why I tell people, you can't say that God's not in a Christian church,
mm-hmm.
okay? You know, where did he pull you from? They're like, a Christian church. It's like, thank you.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, and it's learning not to throw away that heritage, because when they throw everything away,
uh-huh.
That was their first love.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you shouldn't do that. It's not that you can't.
Uh-huh.
You shouldn't. And it's just getting that other teaching, because there's a lot of good things that came from
uh-huh.
that Christian churches that it's not all bad. I mean, there's definitely paganism and things in there, but you know what? Abba draws us from those kind of things and requires us or asks us and teaches us to worship him in spirit and truth. So we take the bits of truth that we learned.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Well, Shirley, let me call on you for a minute here. Teresa gave us a little bit of a background of the tour. Could you please tell us how you and Steve got started with the Peregrinati?
Okay. Oh, my.
That's always one of those hard questions, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think it was in 98 Steve built his first ARP, and I had always been telling stories since I was a little girl and really got my skills honed in all of the Bible classes with my kids in church growing up. And I wrote a story for a Christmas party that we were part of a prayer group when we were doing all of that sort of thing years ago, and read it to them, and it was very well received. And when Steve started playing the harp, and I had the story, we decided to put it together and presented it for church. And it was very well received, and I wrote a couple other stories, and we went to a couple other places. It was well received, but it wasn't until we met David last July that he wanted to have us join up with him and start doing it more extensively, more fully, different groups around the country. And we've been to your place now twice in Wisconsin and other places. And the one that we're doing right now, A Day in the Life of Yeshua, David said, you know, I'd like this song, I See Blue, by Kelly Ferrari. Wonderful song about the woman with the issue of blood touching the seats. Translated the hem of Yeshua's garment and being healed. And he said, you know, do some stories around that. And I opened up the Bible and started looking through scripture where this story was, and found it in Matthew, and it's parts of it are in Mark and Luke. And as I was reading, it was like, oh my goodness, this is all one day. This all happened one day for Yeshua. It starts out with a sail across the lake, and he has the encounter with the demoniac, and then he comes back to Capernaum and meets the paralytic who was healed, and then calls Matthew to come follow him. He's at dinner at Matthew's house, and the Jairus comes and says, my daughter needs you. And so he starts out on the way and meets the woman, heals her, raises the daughter from the dead, turns around, has two blind men he gives sight to, and then a deaf man that he causes to speak again. And that was one day in his life. So with Teresa and her dance troupe, we thought we only were going to have the pleasure of their company in Texas, but the Holy Spirit started moving and saying, come on the road with us. And so we just do half a day. That's the first three stories, the demoniacs, the paralytics, the calling Matthew, and dances are between them, and we find that it's has turned into a very prophetic message. The demoniac is, to me, symbolizes those people that are totally given over to the world, you know, so much so that they are no longer in control of their own faculties, their own decisions, their own abilities. We see many in the world like that. And then the paralytic who can't do anything on his own, he has to have people carry him, you know, to meet Yeshua, where he can have an encounter. And the calling of Matthew, this man trying to live in two worlds, trying to please the Romans and keep his job and trying to be a Jew at the same time. And, you know, it's just a prophetic message, and how Yeshua intersects these three lives and they're forever changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, what keeps us going is that you see people in the audience being affected, being touched, being, oh my goodness, light bulbs going on, and that's me in that story. That, you know, that's,
mm-hmm.
I think from the very beginning, telling the very first story, just seeing how, I've come to use this analogy. A lot of people look at the Bible as, say you have a coloring book, and the whole book is just full of black lines, and as you look through this book, you see the pictures, and you see the outlines of these things, but for so many people, that's all they see.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe the Rook has allowed me to do,
mm-hmm.
is to pick up some crayons and start coloring in,
mm-hmm.
these pictures.
Yes.
And so people get what folks tell me is, it's like I was there. It was like I was part of it, that I was seeing it and feeling it and experiencing it. and not that we try to change Scripture, add anything to Scripture, but more make the Scripture descriptive so people can actually take it into themselves and go, oh my goodness, that story's for me. I can see myself there.
Shirley, you and Teresa, and I think Jan would probably say too, you're all about, I guess the secular term would be multimedia, you know, engage all the senses in bringing a message.
And it's neat, because watching, to interject real quick, like Shirley was saying, when people are touched, after everything is said and done, especially after we do the Icy Blue presentation, when the women go up and they urine and they're touching the tzitzit of the hem of the garment, the men, and the women as well, but the men, when we walk through the crowd afterwards, this happened on Sunday at the yeshiva, the men are drying their eyes. And to me, the father bottles up the woman's tears. But how much more precious that I'm seeing that the men are touched that deeply. So with what Yahweh has put together, or Abba has put together with this presentation, it, like Shirley has said, is very, very prophetic for the times.
Shirley, one of the reasons I was hoping you could join us today was you have been in situations. I'm thinking of your missions trip, and probably there have been situations along the road in this tour, too, where you've been speaking with people who haven't yet understood the Torah message. And it's not that we doubt that they are true believers, but they haven't understood this yet. Can you address what that's been like and what you found that's been helpful?
I think
maybe the Seventh Day Adventist was the one group. One of your emails, you talked about that.
Sometimes it's frustrating, and you have to lay down your frustration and just come back to people's love. You know that I guess the biggest thing was our encounter in Thailand with a group of Seventh Day Adventist dear people. You know, doing mission work. But at odds with us for some of the things that we've found in Scripture, you know, that are contrary to the beliefs that they hold. And that it just, you know, casually talking with them, I guess the biggest thing is knowing when to not stop our... When you see that you're at a place where they've taken a firm stand, and you know they're not going to be moved, and you've presented your point, that you have to trust that you have cast your fruit, okay, and that the seed that is in that fruit is up to Yahweh to cause to grow. And to remember that in the parable of the sower, there were four kinds of soil. And it's not up to you to decide where that seed goes and what kind of soil that it will end up in. Because if you do that, then you're going to start limiting your encounters, limiting your conversations, limiting the people that you're going to share this with.
Yeah.
But you have to realize at the same time that When they take a firm stand, that instead of pressing them to a point of them being totally turned off by you and wanting to ignore you and not spend any more time with you, that you step back and you smile and you just love them. And you let them know that, you know what, it's okay. I love you. Because that truly is what Yeshua told us to do. He didn't tell us to go make other people believe what we believe. He told us to love them as He loves us. And if I think about it this way, my goodness, if Yeshua would stand here in front of us and take the stand with us that sometimes we take with other people, what would be the encounter of that? Because we push our point so hard sometimes and try to get people to step into what we believe right then and there. And like Steve said, brought up the other day, how many years was it from the first encounter that God had with Abraham to when Abraham was ready to put Isaac on that altar and offer him as a sacrifice?
That was over
50 years. So I am more and more coming to the realization that it's baby steps, you know, for a lot of people. And when they realize that you are just loving them and accepting them and having compassion on them in the state that they are, no matter how ornery or obstinate or despairing or frustrating it might be, that is going to produce more of the crop than if you try to get somebody to believe what you believe right now.
Yeah.
Right now. And I have to admit, talking with them was, it had its points of frustration, and in the emails that Barbara and Carolyn got, you picked up on some of that frustration, but...
No, I just thought it was a very good description of, you know, what was happening. I'm not meaning to say that it sounded...
No, I'm sorry. I know what I was feeling in myself. But coming back to them over and over, and at the end of our almost 3 weeks there, it was the most amazing thing, because we had this, the lady who runs the school wanted to do an ancient Hebrew wedding, because somehow we'd gotten into the conversation. And we had the one man that, this was just a few days before we left, and by this time we'd gone through all kinds of conversations, and the man that we had stand in as the rabbi and read the ketubah for us was the very man that had been the most opposed to us. And he was just so struck by the fact that we would ask him to do this. He just teared up, and he was like, my goodness, I would be honored. You know, honored. And it was just coming back in that spirit of love and acceptance and compassion, and that opens more doors than any theology. It just, because that is your theology.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And once they realize that you aren't there to condemn them for what they believe, then they're receptive to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a little bit. So they weren't receptive to everything, but there was fruit that was cast, and the Father will see that the seed grows, and the soil depends on the person.
Mm-hmm. Powerful message. I want to give everybody opportunity to ask any questions they might have, but I first wanted to ask Shirley if there's a difference you find in being able to speak openly with people before and after you and Steve do and Teresa do your presentations.
Oh yeah. Before nobody knows. I mean, to try and describe what we do to someone is like, huh? And then we go, okay, just wait. And then I've had so many people come up to me and say, well, I'll just give you one example, that my most recent one. This woman came up to me after a story that we did, and she just wrapped her arms around me, and she started crying, and she said, you don't know what that story did. She said, just Yeshua just spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, these issues that I have with my Father, that they're in His hand, and that it's going to be okay because they're in His hand and He's going to take care of it, and one day my Father will see and my Father will know, and my Father, you know, and she just went on in this vein, and I was like, wow, I never got that from this story.
Wow.
So, I mean, truly, just she'd had so much rejection and abandonment issues by her dad, and that through the story, the Ruach just worked in her life, just just touching her and healing her, and it was just expressed through her tears and her emotion as she just stood in my arms and just wept, and I wept with her, and it was an awesome thing. And that's just people. I think it's the coloring again. I think it's more than just hearing the words or seeing the words, but actually identifying.
Mm-hmm.
The stories just help you identify with the character and know that it's real. It was real then and it's real now because our Yahweh, our Abba, does not change.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can you all hear me?
Yes, mm-hmm. You're there.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Marilyn, Mildred, yeah. Dan, you're all there?
Yeah, I'm here.
But it's like, you know, what Shirley was saying. Before, when we present and we tell people what we're doing, and I've experienced the same thing, that what was told to me yesterday, the difference with our team compared to other people, and it's not that it's I'll just put it, give Abba the credit because it's all him, but everybody that's on the team, doesn't matter if they're old or new, young or old, just recently joined or been there forever. We have the heart. We have passion. We don't have legalism. We don't have bondages. And like Shirley was saying, we don't have something going, you got to do this. There's no judgmentalness that's in it. And it's just our heart. As we worship before Yahweh, we worship through dance, we worship through teaching, we worship through the stories. That's what's coming across, is our heart plea
mm-hmm.
for the people. Not just going out, oh, well, this is my agenda, I'm going to teach this.
Exactly.
And that's what is causing the healing. That is what's causing the people to go, oh, my gosh. And that's what he's bringing together, and that's why it's so prophetic, but also so powerful with everybody that's involved. Because like Shirley was saying, beforehand they're going, oh, okay, we're in for something. Okay, I've never heard of this kind of stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
But after we present what we have to present, whether it's the full story or just a couple stories here and there, mixed with the dances and mixed with what David teaches on, they come back, and time and time and time again afterwards, I had no idea. And that's what I keep hearing, and the other dancers on the troop keep saying. We hear, I had no idea, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just incredible.
It's sort of like when I brought my friend Diane to the conference last year. I had talked, Diane is a good friend of mine, and she's not churched. She was churched, but long a time ago. But I've shared with her, and because she's my friend, she just listens. And she makes a good sounding board for me. But I brought her to the MIA conference last year. I really felt like Abba was saying, ask her to come. And she came. And she watched the dance. She watched the presentation. She had never seen anything like that in her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't come to all of the open sessions with all of the teaching. I think at times it got to be a little overwhelming. It was a little bit much for where she was.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that I'm here alone. I don't have a congregation here. Barb's my set-apart folks are my congregation, basically. And but I have a friend now who has an understanding of the feast. And she's committed to celebrating each feast with me, so I no longer have to spend those by myself.
No.
So a lot of times it's just inviting people to partake and then letting the Spirit of the Lord do the work.
Right.
And she learns more, and she's coming around. But, you know, for her, she's real slow. That's the way she does things. And I have no doubt that if she were to see your presentation that she would even come away with a deeper sense of things. So it's really important for us to just reach out in friendship and love to those that don't believe like we do and share what we can when the doors open.
Right, and that's why, you know, the whole team that's together, that God's put together right now, will go where we're called. yes, if we're in a Messianic community, that's where we'll go. I mean, that's most of us right now. That's where we've gotten most of our contacts. But all of us yearn for the Christian group as well, because, like I said earlier, there's Abbas in both. So we're not opposed to either or. It's kind of, it's in some respects, to me, it's more fun. Even though there's more personal attack, spiritual attack, I mean, going into a Christian church because it's different, there's a blessing because it is so fresh and so new that there's a different kind of joy and excitement with those particular groups. That's what I have found.
Mm-hmm. For me, I remember coming into Hebraic worship. My first experience was at an Embrace Israel conference in Iowa. And I remember thinking, what's a Lutheran girl like me doing in a place like this? but the
well,
joy
how
of,
about Church of Christ?
That too.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, you know, we learn more about what it means to worship with all your heart and mind and soul and strength in a way that I never did before.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once they start to understand the Hebraic roots, then Yeshua becomes more and more real to them.
Yeah.
You know, you begin to understand all those things you didn't understand before, and he's not just a person we're going to see someday. He becomes real and living to you. And
Yeah, it's just learning to step aside and, like was said earlier, to step aside and let Yahweh do his work instead of going, oh, I can do this. No. He's got practice at it. Like, I had a boss before that said, that would look at me when I try to kind of take over part of his job. He'll just lovingly look at me and say, I've done this before. And he just kind of back off and go, okay. And that's sometimes I thank the Father when I try to step in that role. God will just look down and say, I've done this before. Mm-hmm. So when we pull back and let him lead it, that's when we see the miracles happen.
Uh-huh. That's food for thought. Everybody's thinking deeply. Any comments for Teresa or for Shirley? Anything you've been wondering as they're talking?
One thought did come to me about the expectancy. And I think it's kind of in line with what they've been discovering as they've been on their own personal journeys. Yes, there is an urgency in the time, but I think the urgency, what I've been hearing in my spirit as we've been listening, is urgency is not only for those people out there to hear, but it's for us to get our hearts focused on him.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
It's about the bride's heart. That's the urgent call, is to focus on him, not on... It's like, don't lose me in the process of taking the word out to others.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what, I think it's going to get harder and harder, and if we don't keep our focus on him, and I know I'm speaking to the choir, but that's just kind of what came to me as y'all were talking about the urgency thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just reading a book about Reese Howell. Not the one everyone thinks of, but The Intercession of Reese Howell, I think it was called. And in the years prior to World War II, the mid-30s, he came to the main assembly of the Bible school one day, and he made an announcement after having been up all night in prayer. And this was his statement, and I think that this is where we are, or we're really close to this very place today. He said, prayer has failed. It's time for intercession. And many times we think, well, prayer, intercession, synonymous, but no, intercession is much deeper, and it's what you were just saying. It's a matter of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
We can pray.
pray prayers, but we're entering a season where we have to go beyond just praying prayers, where it has to become intercession of the heart. And that's an awesome assignment when you think about that.
Well, there's a lot of weight on this conversation.
Yeah.
Well, and I believe very much both what Shirley, you and your husband do, what Teresa, you're all doing together, that's all intercession.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most powerful kind because it's a visual intercession as well as a heart intercession. I mean, you're going in with your heart focused on him and what his message is to be. But still, there's an intercession going on at the same time because you are touching those hearts.
Oh, yeah. And
you're giving value to those hearts.
Right.
That's an intercession at a creative level that very few people, I think we have a minute understanding of it. But I think there's a power in that even we don't realize yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand it. I just sense in my spirit that it's true, and I've had it confirmed over and over again that intercession engages all of his creativity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The word, the music, the dance, the art forms, everything. It all. I understood it at a deeper level, but I know it is the most purest sense of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And worship and intercession are almost one and the same.
Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, Jan has been making worship banners for a long time, and as she said, she's been involved in warfare. But I don't know how it's coming at the moment, Jan. I didn't ask lately, but she's been working on a book on creativity, spiritual creativity, and on a devotional series. And I think this is one of those connections that's important, because as she said, I don't think that's an area that a lot of people understand.
No, right, yeah. That's so true.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a general rule, I don't think many people understand true intercession at very many levels.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Teresa, you commented this morning when we talked earlier that someone who watched you had come up to you and spoke to you of what he saw and what you were doing, what you brought to that. Would you mind just commenting on that?
Yeah, it was this weekend. Shirley hasn't heard this story yet because I haven't had the opportunity to share. Excuse me.
You keep flitting around so many different states, so you're not in the same place.
Yeah. as I was leading the dance, the father has been taking me further and further into bearing the banner. And there's a book that's called First Man Out, Last Man Standing, and it's about leading banner worship and things like that. I'll send you the email, Barb, so you guys can have a copy of where to get it.
Okay.
But it's teaching me to go forward. And there was a gentleman that came up to me after this weekend, and he said the way that I lead the dance is kind of like a general in battle.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, whoa, okay. And that's totally Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
But when I stick my, because I do a lot of hand movements, gestures to lead the dance, so I'm not speaking over the music, because it's, people can see it. He said every time I put my right hand up to do the turn, you know, for people to turn to the right, he said spiritually and being a military man, when you do that movement, it's rallying the troops.
Mm-hmm.
And that made such an impact because that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. You said that he also commented he knew that you were not just up there dancing, waving a piece of material around.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's the years of prayer, tears, setting everything aside, sacrificing friendships, and laying down my life for Yahweh. That it's through all of that that he's drawn me to this place, because what he's teaching is about what a friend of mine coins the phrase, the warrior bride going forward.
Amen.
Taking the territory that Satan has robbed from us.
Mm-hmm.
And boldly going forward, not out of disrespect for the Father, but boldly going forward with where he's taking us, where he's leading us, trusting that he knows where we need to go more than we do. And when we step into that role, whether it's through dance, stories, banner making, prayers, intercession, when we trust in him, I see the Father in the Spirit rallying the troops, because it's happening faster and faster and faster.
Yeah, we keep sensing that too, faster. People are being brought along faster in their growth too.
Yeah.
And it'll be exciting to see what Ephraim really looks like. Because I don't think any of us really have we have bits and pieces of the vision, but I think it's going to be an awesome thing to see.
Oh, absolutely.
Kind of like the blind man and the elephant. Everybody knows their part.
Yeah. Well, actually, the whole Messianic Israel, because Judah's going to come with us. I mean, they're not being left behind.
Nope.
And they're coming in with a strength and a truth. It's just going to be awesome. I can't wait to see what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we pray for perseverance and strength and diligence and wisdom and peace while we're walking through the mess that'll happen.
And focus.
And focus, exactly.
Amen on that.
Any other thoughts prompted by anybody else? We'll jump in whenever they come to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, the name of that book again was First Man Out, Last Man Standing?
Yes.
You remember the author?
Karen Simmons. She's out of Ocala, Florida.
Oh.
No, she's out of Florida.
Okay.
Not Ocala. But she is out of Florida.
Okay.
And I can...
That sounds like one we might want to check out.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very, very good book.
Well, if there aren't any other, anything anybody want to put in, if there's nothing there, I want to just comment then that July 29th is the next weekend for our teleconference, the last weekend of the month. This one snuck up on me, too, with everything going on. I kept thinking it was one more week yet, but here we are, so I'm grateful that you've made it. And Teresa is going to come back, and I think we'll be talking a little bit more. What we didn't get to the last time she spoke with us was on the actual construction of the banners and the details and that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I remembering correctly, Teresa?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where we'll be on tap for in about, 4 to 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in the meantime, we certainly will keep you all in prayer. Thank you so much, Shirley, for finding the time while you're on the road there.
Well, I thank you. I'm glad I called in. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Mm-hmm. And Mildred and Marilyn and, let's see, Dan, are all there.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you were here. Any comments before we wrap up?
It was just good to listen to everything and lots to ponder for me, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about even the what had been brought forth through the sacrifice of friendship, and this, what the sacrifice in life, and just thinking about some of my own dear friends that don't really want to listen, and it's like a sadness that I think that through that sadness and struggle.
Oh, you're breaking up. I'm getting every other word, I think.
I'm just saying that through the sacrifice that we do during the on the way, of growth, can come forth some really good fruit and a more devoted heart to
Yahweh. Amen to that. Well, I will close in prayer. Abba, thank you. Thank you for uniting this small group of women over time and space. And we ask that you would continue to pour your blessing
and your Ruach on each one of us, that we would walk out the path that you have laid out from us from before the foundations of the world were set. And we do need that constant reminder that you are the one who knows the end from the beginning. You know where you're taking us. You've been there before. You know what was going to happen. And so you have prepared us and will continue to prepare us as we walk it out. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Blessings.
Blessings to everyone.
Shalom.
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 Take care. Bye-bye.